Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org. This program is recorded from an earlier live broadcast.
Live from the John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio voters will have their chance to weigh in on some big changes to local government on the election day, November 5th. This is because that is the election day for the presidential race and the U.S. Senate, all those down ballot races, and voter turnout expected to be high. But voters will also be asked to consider the hyper local issue, changing the city charter. And this could have big implications for home rule. We're going to go through the A through F charter changes and give you a chance to ask questions or have your say on these proposed changes. And we're joined by Gordon Hartman, the internationally recognized philanthropist known for being Morgan's dad. He's also a tri-chair of Renew SA, a local political action committee, which is supporting all six amendments to the San Antonio charter. And so, Gordon Hartman, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you very much.
So it is kind of odd that these charter changes are going to be on the election day for the general election. In the past, I've kind of seen these in the May elections. So the concern is, you know, there's so much energy and it's taking up all the oxygen talking about the race for mayor and other things. Is that a challenge for your operation to try to educate the voters about these proposed charter changes?
No question. First of all, that's why I appreciate you having me on the show, because these six propositions are incredibly important to San Antonio. And with, as you mentioned earlier, with the presidential race, the state Senate race, and so many other things on the ballot, all of these propositions will be listed down at the bottom. Many times you find that if the ballot is too long, people tend to have a no vote. Or basically not a no vote, but they don't cast a vote.
They walk away.
And so our job is to try to tell people that this is something you need to think about, you need to look into. And I think as you do it, you will recognize there's a reason to vote for all six propositions. But you got to make sure they get to that part of the ballot. So, yes, this is more difficult. If this was something that was happening in May during the election for new city council members and the mayor, we would be much higher on the ballot and much more focus on it. So it does make it a lot more difficult. We're looking at 600,000 to 700,000 people coming out to vote in the city for the presidential race. And so that's a lot of people to educate, and a lot of people to get to understand the importance of these propositions.
Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you want to weigh in on these ballot proposals, A through F, we'll go through each one. If you've got a question, a comment, was there a ballot issue? Was there an amendment that you wanted to see on the ballot, but it didn't make it? And now's your chance to, you know, talk about that, and maybe it'll get on the next one. Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Well, there is that issue, we can say, since more people will be going to vote in this election, as you gave those numbers, it's more of a true measure of what San Antonians really want to see with their charter.
Well, and that's part of the reason why the council wanted to bring it out in November versus in May, because they knew they would have a larger number of people who could say, hey, we really believe that these changes need to happen to the charter. So there is an advantage to having it now. It just, the hope is that through shows like this and talking it up, that people will know it exists and recognize the importance of getting this goal of getting all these propositions passed. It's important. Many times there's so much focus sometimes in election on certain areas that people don't zero in on amendments and things like this. We see that in statewide elections many times. And our hope is that by talking about this and really recognizing, in particular, all of these amendments are important, but there's two or three that are just incredibly important to San Antonio and need to really have a focus.
Right. And the thing that many people are kind of zeroing in on, A through F, but Amendment E is going to set the annual compensation for council members and the mayor at $70,200 and $87,800, respectively. And in future years, the adjustments will be made according to the HUD's reporting on household income. So it'll be adjusted year to year, according from HUD's numbers. So why do you think that this is something that the time has come for this? It wasn't that long ago when council members were barely not even getting paid.
Well, council members used to get paid $20 a week. You know, when my dad was on council back in the mid-70s, it was a full-time job for him, but he was retired. And so he had other income coming in, so he was able to be a councilman full-time. And that has actually gotten much more complex today. You take back in the mid-70s versus today, 50 years later, the San Antonio is a much more complex, a much larger budget. When you're looking at a budget of $3.5 billion versus back then, I mean, it takes time to focus and look at things. So,
yeah, but your dad was part of a major reform movement trying to restore. But, you know, he was not just, you know, he was really part of a big deal when he was on city council.
Well, and I think everything we do on city council is a big deal. I mean, look, these 11 people set policy for this city and tell the city manager how to move about running a city this large. And so when it comes to the amount of work that they don't just show up at B session and go to city council meetings on Thursday morning. There are meetings all during the week. There are briefings all during the week. And if you are not able to get people on council who you're able to pay a legitimate amount to, they have to have two jobs to survive. And that takes away from them being able to really focus on what is the true issue that they're voting on. And for that reason, I believe it makes good sense when you look at the $70,000 for a councilman and $87,000 for the mayor. Look, in the overall, when you look at the overall budget and the magnitude of what this is, it just makes good common sense to have people who are setting policy, the board of directors of this city, are paid an adequate amount so when they vote, they know exactly what they're voting on. Otherwise, what you can get, which is not a good thing for the city, is you can get staff basically dictating everything that's going to happen. And that's not a positive thing. That's not a good thing for the citizens of San Antonio. So that's why they need to be paid well. Or not paid well, paid a legitimate amount. $70,000 a year is still a good amount of money, no question about it. But this is a 60-hour-a-week job. These people put in that kind of time.
All right. I was going to get to our caller, Lee, because he had a comment about this salary issue, but we're kind of boxed in against this break. So we'll get to you, Lee, right after this one-minute break. But, you know, just want to say that we have A through F amendments. Some of them are kind of housekeeping amendments. The E is the one about the salary. We're going to talk more about that coming back from this break. Amendment F, we're going to get to, would extend the term of the city council members. You know, now they have 2-year terms. This would be now 4-year terms. And I think that's something that San Antonio really needs to think long and hard about whether or not we want this. And we're going to talk about the nuances of that and some of these issues about the city manager, whether or not we should, reverse ourselves from what we had a 2018 charter amendment, putting restraints on what the city manager can be paid and his term limits. We'll talk more about that when we come back from this break. And you can call in, have your say, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Lee, I'm going to get you on the air when we come back from this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio is Gordon Hartman. He is part of a local PAC that is in support of the charter changes that are on the November 5th election. We're talking about these proposed charter changes. You can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255. And we do have Lee standing by. And Lee, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
I think the gentleman asked my question regarding the salaries and why he thinks they need an increase in salary. My question is that why the 4 years? Why do they want to go from 2 years to 4 years? And does that mean a total of 8 years, a total of 12 years? Is there a limit that they want to set for these guys to be in office? And it's the city council seems like a money pit to me. You know, every year they're going to be paying them more and more salaries, which means what? More taxes increase? Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Lee, for that call. So let's talk about would increasing the pay for city council members mean a tax increase?
No. As we talked about, we're at a $3.5 billion budget in San Antonio. And you're talking about a total of maybe the total amount of increase here is probably about $300,000 among all council members and the mayor total in a year. And so, no, that is not going to any way cause a tax increase.
Right. And because we vote, anytime you raise the salary, well, it's going to be yoked to this HUD like index.
Right.
So
right.
It's not going to be exploding number of what we're going to pay city council members.
And that's the beauty of it. We don't have to keep coming back and looking at it all the time. The way this has been set up is we start with what is fair today when you look at the local median income, and you say that there's going to be an index to watch that so that council members can't go in and start adding more to their salary. That's not how this is set up. This is where if we have an inflationary rate of 3% or 4%, then that is taken into account so that we can pay council members properly going forward. We went too long without doing something, and we finally did something, and that something kind of then is not really wasn't set up just right, in my opinion. This one is set up right. It's fair. It allows then for very small increases every year if there is a need for an increase, but it's controlled by a mechanism that is based on inflation, if you will, and not based on what council or somebody else wants to add to their salary. And again, the amount of dollars that we're talking about here are so minimal when it comes to the overall things that the council people are involved in, as the policymakers, as the board of directors of this city, you need to have people who are going to have it to where they can spend full time on this job and not have. And many right now, council members are having to carry two jobs. They're not having to do it as much as they used to when they were getting $20 a week. But I know many of them still have to do this. I think would bring about a full time city council, which is what we need because there's so many important things coming into the city right now.
But there's an argument to be made that, okay, 70,000 a year, you know, a little bit more than that for a council member. But the average income in San Antonio is about 42, 46, you know, thousand a year. So while this is not a luxury amount of money for to pay someone, it is significantly more than what the average person in San Antonio earns. I don't know if that means anything in the argument, but, you know, this might be something people should know.
Look, what the commission did who looked into this has said, what is a comparable amount for an executive position? Like these are executives. When you vote someone onto the city council, there are 10 city council members and the mayor. Those 10 people are executives. They are you're going out and voting and saying, I'm going to find an executive who's going to represent my district, take care of what my needs are, and that is considered that would be an executive. In my organization, any organization where someone is having to look at, manage things, manage a lot of people, deal with a lot of different issues, that's an executive position. And for that to pay $70,000 for that position is very fair in today's market. 10 years ago, it would not have been fair. Today, it's fair. And again, any increase to this will be only based on something that is real, not someone. You know, right now you hear many times, which Lee, I think, was kind of referring to, well, people start to see where Congress and other taxing authorities start to say, well, they give themselves their own pay increase based on this year. We're just going to do a 15% increase because we want to do it. That does not allow that to happen here. It is based simply on any types of increases. But again, you're talking about people who are making policy, who are making big decisions for an entity that is an incredibly large entity, 14,000
right.
employees, David.
Yeah, so let's get to Amendment F, which is what Lee was referring to in his questions about extending the terms of these city council members, including the mayor, from 2 to 4 years. This does not change the term limits that we have. They're right to have an 8-year term limit. Mm-hmm. That would mean 4 2-year terms currently, and it would switch to 2 4-year terms. So this is on the ballot, and this is something that people are kind of, they have a lot of questions. So let's talk about that. What is your position?
Well, first of all, I think it makes a lot of sense. Why? Many times when people are under the current structure, first of all, we're way behind other cities. Most cities do have 4-year terms for city council members, large cities, and there's a reason for that. That's why we need that's not the reason why we have to do it, but I think there's a reason why they are doing it, which is similar to what makes a good case here. And that is that you get some stability in leadership, number one. Many of these council members come in with ideas of things they want to do in their district, and they need some time to develop those ideas and how they're going to implement those things. And when someone comes on the council, they start in June, and immediately they're thrown into budget discussions on a $3.5 billion budget. And the turnover that you have on council many times does not allow many of those council members to really be able to understand the issues that they're getting ready to have to discuss. By having longer terms, it would, and still not increasing, no one can be on longer than 8 years. But by them being able to have the opportunity to get used to understanding what the issues are and being able to debate those better than constantly having to campaign, once they're elected, within 6 to 8 months, they're now having to run and run again. Because they're having to raise money to be able to run again in another year after they've been there just a year. And that first year was consumed with just trying to learn the ins and outs of many of the things that we're asking them to make decisions on. So I think this is a fair process to allow for our city government to really have people do and be elected for the purposes of really making good policy. We have made a lot of good policy over the years, but I will tell you many times council members, they may not say this publicly, but a lot of times they're voting on stuff that many times they're so new to the process, they really don't know. We need more consistency so that we can get that to where they have the time to really understand, implement programs, and also be much more engaged with their district versus constantly campaigning, having to raise money to run for the next election.
All right. I have questions. We'll get back to this. Let's go to a caller, Henrietta. And Henrietta, you're on the air.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. What I'd like to know is how are they going to make accountable for the hours? And also, I'm in favor that they get a good raise, but I think that the staff should be hired by the city because they're all untrained. You call the office, nobody answers, and they don't return calls. And then you ask about pertinent things about something, and nobody knows anything.
All right, Henrietta, thank you for that call. So the staffers are typically hired directly by the city council members themselves.
That's correct.
Okay, so it's if you're unsatisfied with the staff, you should bring that up to the city council member.
You should. And again, if that city council member is only able to work a certain number of hours because they can't afford on current pay, which is, I'm not going to say it's low, but it's not significant enough to where many of them can have to have two jobs versus going to the number that we're talking about here, which is a minor increase. It is a reasonable amount. Then you have that city council being able to manage full time the job that they have of not only dealing with all the people who are working for them within their office, but handling calls, handling issues that their constituents have. We're asking a lot of council members, and we should. They're public servants. Paying someone those $70,000 a year so that they can live properly to be a public servant is still a very fair price. Now, in respect to the amount of hours, here's what I can tell you just in watching City Hall and City Council members over the many years. I know for a fact they put in a lot of hours.
They do.
There are many.
And they go to events every night.
Every night.
They support, you know, town halls, all sorts of things happening, graduations.
Yeah.
They have to go to all sorts of things.
I mean, that was 50 years ago when I was 10 years old. My dad was on council, and he was gone all the time. It was something that he had, that he knew he had to do. We have become much more complex from where we were 50 years ago. Just think what they're having to do today in respect to keeping up with things. And so, but it's not just about going to events. David, there are so many complex issues that come before council. They set the policy. And so for them to be able to read and understand versus someone walking in their office 3 hours before a council meeting and a staff member saying this is what you ought to do is not the best thing for a council, someone on council to be able to make a decision that is best for their district. And that's why I think a small amount of increase here is very legitimate, is very reasonable, and is something that is going to put us on a path to making sure we can get the right kind of council.
Let's go to another caller. We have Mary on the line. And Mary, you're on the air.
Yes, I was thinking that, you know, that's great, you know, they have a raise, but when as a city of San Antonio, that we live here in the city of San Antonio, we have to work two jobs just to make things, you know, just to pay our bills. When is going to be our raise? And they should be based on merits for the city councils because they don't do anything. They do attend a lot of, you know, parties and, you know, events. But when we need them, they're never there.
All right. Well, Mary, thank you so much for the call. That kind of aligns with what District 8 City Council member Manny Pelaez was saying from the dais. He voted no to put this amendment on the charter on the ballot. He was saying the council members get a lot of perks. And that he didn't think that that should be factored in as well as part of the salary.
Look, if anyone who takes a job gets a certain perks, they get insurance, they get a 401k. I mean, there's a lot of different things that people get when they have a job. I have to disagree. Manny's a great person and someone who has been on council for a long time. I think that when you're talking about the work that that needs to be done. And I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but this is not a simple job. It can be, and then you get policy that's not good. And we can go back to a lot of decisions in the past that were not good policy, and I think that was because people had to make rush judgment or staff was trying to control certain things. You don't want that. You want policymakers, executive, making good decisions. And granted, sometimes there's little details. Council's not perfect. There are a lot of mistakes. A lot of people don't return calls. A lot of different issues like that. I'm not complaining or not stating that Mary and the others who have made a couple comments here about things like that don't occur. That being said, that's even more reason, though, why you want to pay someone fairly, and I think you want to keep them on long enough to make sure they have staff that really knows what is going on, that they're not constantly running for re-election, and those people can do the kind of work that they need to do to understand the things that come before them. Otherwise, you change from being a council that's making true policy and giving it to a city manager, and the city manager is then doing it the way he wants to do it because there's not that proper oversight. I think that's important. We've got to have where council makes decisions and city managers are held accountable for making sure policy is handled properly. I think by doing this, allowing them time longer on being able to be on council, to really understand the ins and outs of it and to get paid properly just makes a lot of sense for being able to get to the if we were a smaller city, I would think that maybe we might want to do things differently. But this is bringing us into the type of city we are now. You know, we need the focus of a city that recognizes that we're one of the largest cities in this nation.
And growing.
And yeah, I mean, and we're, as a matter of fact, San Antonio is growing more than any other city right now in respect to citizens. That's a lot of strain on our infrastructure. And when you talk about that, that talks about how are we going to pay for that? How is that going to be dealt with? How do we keep taxes low while doing that? That is not something in 5 minutes you can come up with or in a part-time job. You need a full-time job that pays adequately to do that.
And also, Councilmember Manny Pelaez is running for mayor. Maybe that was some calculation he made and trying to widen his base of support. Who knows? But it's a populist kind of a position to take. We're going to take a break here. The number to call in if you've got a question or comment about these charter amendments, which ones you support. Is there some that you would want to get on the ballot? What are they? We'd love to hear your ideas. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues right after this.
This program is recorded from an earlier live broadcast.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. I'm joined in the studio by Gordon Hartman, internationally recognized philanthropist. He is also a tri-chair of Renew SA, a local political action committee, which is supporting all six amendments to the San Antonio Charter. Those amendments are up for you to decide in the November 5th election. There's going to be way down on the ballot after you get through a president and you know, the senator and congressman, and we got all these state representatives and judges, and then you'll get to the this question about charter changes. And so stick with it. These charter changes are really important, and citizens should have their say. If you've got a question or comment, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, and let's go to Brenda. And Brenda, you're on the air.
Thank you. I want to make a comment about the public servants. They're elected public officials. They volunteered for this job. And I'm concerned that, you know, they're going to have an attitude where, you know, I don't get paid enough to do that. And that's kind of my concern is when they get paid, they're going to get paid too much to do this job they have been doing. They volunteered for this. They knew what they were going in for. And what are the perks the city council gets?
So what are the perks? So according to Manny Pelias, what he was saying when the dais and this was debating, he says, well, we get parking spaces. They get their own park, and they get to go to the Spurs games. You know, they get to go to all sorts of events that are happening around town all the time. So they're basically the big man on campus all over the city, and that's what he was talking about with the perks. That doesn't help you pay your mortgage or, you know, help you at the checkout counter at HEB, but, you know, that's what he was talking about. Any response to that, Gordon Hartman?
No. I mean, do they get a parking space? Yes, they do. At City Hall, they do get a special parking space, which allows them to get into City Hall quicker. That is a perk they get. I did not know they get Spurs tickets, but I know that, yes, they're invited to a lot of events. Many of those are in their district so that they can do things, and I'm sure from time to time at those events they get a free lunch here or there or a dinner or whatever the case may be. But that doesn't take away from the fact that, like you said, doesn't pay for a mortgage. And we're talking about executives here. And we, as the citizens of San Antonio, it is our job to go out and find and elect the right person. And to do that, you have to be able to make sure that you have – if I go out and I want to get a job and have someone come and work for me, I'm going to put a job description together, and I want to be able to have a job description so I can get all the best people to come in and say, I want to work. And if they come in and say, I want to work, and I say, well, by the way, the pay is only X, that is nowhere near what is comparable for that type of job, then I'm not going to get the right person for that job. If I had to hire at that, I'm going to get someone who's going to basically not do the job I'm expecting of them. That's the same thing of what I'm talking about here.
I have an email from Kamala. If council is getting HUD-indexed raises, maybe lower paid city employees like garbage workers should also be paid according to this per their term lengths. If they are doing the work that their districts that their constituents are calling their attention to, they will not be needing to do a lot of campaigning. I have never voted for a council person because of their campaigns. I voted because of their good works. So that brings up an interesting point. When I've been covering city council for so long, you don't see a lot of incumbents being voted out of office unless they are really have done something egregious. You know, in San Antonio, typically the incumbency has a lot of does a lot of work for them, and so the idea that they have to campaign every 2 years to get reelected that somehow shortchanges their ability to do their job on city council, it's just like, well, these incumbents seem to be able to get reelected pretty frequently. I mean, that seems to be, what's your reaction to that?
Yeah, well, they do. I would say that incumbency has its advantages. And I think what that says, that for the most part, the citizens of those districts are happy with the representative they have voted in.
And the name recognition that they have.
True. But you know, when it comes to, for example, we talk about the going from 4 2-years to 2 4s, with still with a limit. And I think that's important because I think a lot, there has been a lot of discussion, well, now it's going to be unlimited, and it's not, still mm-hmm. 8 years. But the key here is, I mean, you go out and you vote for someone because you think they're the right person. Hopefully they get elected and they do what you're asking them to do. And you're bringing up a good point. There's not a lot of people who, once they get on council, get off council. So why have them constantly be having to work consistently to raise money? When you go out and run for city council, you can't receive a donation over $500. And what it costs to run a TV commercial or put out a mail or whatever is expensive. So you have to get your, you have to go out and tell people what you're doing, not just from the standpoint of what you have done, because there are a lot of people who are watching and making sure and going to go out and vote accordingly. But to those who are not watching it daily, you have to have a campaign to be able to express what you do. So many of these people, I can tell you just from experience, are constantly raising money. And that's not where they should be. They should be focusing on their job. And I think by still having them have to come before the voters every 4 years, just like county commissioners have to do, just like many other offices have to do, just like we do for our governor, just like we do for our lieutenant governor, there's many other areas.
But people in Congress.
That is one exception. But see, what you see there is, again, the consistency of incumbency as well. So, but incumbency does have its advantages. But again, if you're going to have incumbency, have it to where the people can at least have time to be able to do and follow through on many of their objectives. And I think by having to come back to voters every 2 years dilutes the opportunity for good executives to be able to properly be able to deal with so many of the issues that come before them, whether it be for their district or for the city overall.
Another caller, Elena. Elena, you're on the air.
I just wanted to give my opinion that I am all for giving them a raise. I agree. If you want quality people in there, the job that they're doing is not easy. They're dealing with the entirety of the city. And you're right, we are growing. What I don't agree with is the term limits. I don't want somebody in there for 8 years. I know he said several times that it is the same, you're just getting the year is different. I just don't want anybody in there for 8 years.
All right, Elena, thank you so much for your call. I mean, the term limit is still 8 years. That's mm-hmm. not changing.
Right.
And typically, council members will serve almost all those 8 years unless they decide to retire early. I mean, the incumbency seems to carry them through the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, like we talked about Manny Pelias, I think he's at the end of his 8-year term, and he's – you know, that's why we can talk about him. I think everyone in San Antonio knows his name because he's been on city council for so long and been so active and talking about things. And, you know, so that's not the issue. 8 years is not the issue. It's 2 years versus 4 years for reelection. That's the issue.
You know, something that you can do, and it's not easy, but there is a recall opportunity if you have a person who is elected and you don't like, you know, the citizens have an opportunity to go in and say, we want to remove this person, or at least have an election to relook at it. That is an option. Obviously, whenever you go to 4 years, though, you do open yourself up a little bit in the fact that, yes, you don't get that consistent every 2 years that you're having to go to the voting box to bring them into office if you are satisfied with them. That being said, by them having to not focus, you know, a lot of times council people after the first year of being on council are spending, I would say, probably 40% of their time working to make sure they can get another 2 years. And that's what my point is here. You can say that's wrong. You can say that's not the way it should be. And I'm saying, yeah, that's not the way it should be. That's why we're going to give it a full 4 years.
Best, what is good public policy is the question. What is best for the city of San Antonio? That's the, you know, if it's inconvenient for a city council member, boo-hoo-hoo, I don't care. It's really about, like, what is good for San Antonio. Do we benefit from having greater stability and a consistency in leadership?
I'm going to tell you the answer is yes. And I'm going to talk about it from a business perspective versus the perspective of what we're talking about here right now. When I hire people, I don't want turnover. I want people as long as I can have. If I look at my three assistants, they've been with me a total of 50 years if you combine all the years together. That makes to when things are done, they're more efficient, they're implemented better, et cetera. That is, I know that's a kind of a simplistic way of looking at this, but where I'm going with that is that if you have consistency, in respect to someone's job of being able to bring about a review of public policy and follow through on the big jobs that are necessary in districts, whether that be putting a bond package together for streets and drainage or whatever. Those are things that you cannot accomplish in a two-year period. You need more time to do it, and you need to be able to spend time to focus on it. And if you're constantly spending that time running for re-election and raising money so you can have enough money to run for re-election properly, that is just the nature of how it works. And it makes more sense, in my opinion, and it's good for the city to have more consistency so that you constantly don't have people having to go to the revote every 2 years. It makes sense to have it every 4 years.
And you say this way, most cities?
Most
larger cities go to four-year terms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all right. So I've got some callers on the board. Angie, I will go to you next. We got to go to a break right now. We've got some other charter amendments we haven't even talked about. I really want to get to this thing about the city manager. That's really important. And so we'll do that when we come back from this break. Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Gordon Hartman in the studio. If you want to give him a call, say hi. You can do that. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, and we're talking about the November 5th election. We're not talking about who's running for president or any of these other races. They're all important, but we're talking about something else that is just as important to you. It will have a direct impact on your life, and it is these proposed changes to the San Antonio City Charter. We've been talking about E and F quite a bit. That's about raising the pay and also changing how city council members could be elected, going from two-year terms to four-year terms. But I really want to draw focus over to Amendment C that would authorize city council to set the full terms of the city manager employment, including tenure and compensation. And that's kind of a correction that we had city council. We had a charter change a while back. That was about, and that set like a term limit for the city manager. So what's happening on that? What's your take, Gordon Hartman?
Well, you're right, David. It was back in 2018. Just to give a little history of that, actually the early voting, that particular amendment was won on early voting. It was the election day voting actually turned it. It was incredibly close when that was voted on back in 2018. Now we're being asked to relook at, and I think with a lot of good reason, to allow council to be able to set what the city manager should make. Again, we've talked about this earlier. We are a large city with a $3.5 billion budget with 14,000 employees. The city manager has basically a board of directors, 11 bosses that are elected by the citizens. That is an incredibly difficult job. A job that takes a certain type of personality, a certain type of intellect, and you want the right person doing it. Having a city manager that does not meet the expectations of what the job description is can be devastating to a city, and you don't want a lot of turnover. So basically what this amendment does is allow for city council to go out and reasonably pay a person who is running what would be in Fortune 500 a massive company, which would make that CEO would make millions of dollars. That's not the case here. This person right now is making in the 300s range, but be able to have council make that decision based on the best person that they feel can run the policy they set forth, pay them properly, and not tell them after doing an incredible job, if they are, in 8 years, I'm sorry, but you have to leave. If they're doing a good job, keep them. If they're not, then move on. And that's what this is allowing city council to, or allowing the city council to do, that right now That we have a good city manager, in my opinion. This is not about the current city manager, but I'm just saying, if you look at the current city manager, who I think is overall doing a good job, pretty soon he's going to be told, even though you're doing a good job, I'm sorry, you have to leave. I just don't think that makes good common sense. That's not a good business decision. That's not a good – and we need to run the city like a business to get the ultimate efficiencies out of it and to run it where the bottom line is important because you're representing tax dollars. You need to have the right person managing that, and that's why they need to be paid properly.
Right, and we're talking about what is good public policy. That's the issue. What yeah. works best for the city of San Antonio? So if the city has found itself a really good city manager who is being able to run the city well, he's the shot caller for city operations, and then we have this arbitrary term limit that was done politically because there were some people that didn't like Cheryl Scully, has really nothing to do with this city manager. It does seem to put the city at a disadvantage. So, you know, here's an opportunity to correct that.
It is. I mean, what do you do when you need a new city manager? You don't go to the newspaper and look up and say, who are the yellow pages and look for a city manager. You have to go out and look nationally for the right.
But if you get a shop for him in this really highly competitive marketplace and you say, oh, yeah, this is what we can pay, and we're talking about a city of San Antonio, we're growing like gangbusters, other cities can't keep up, you're not going to be able to find somebody who is able to compete, do the job at that level, at that pay.
That's right. You're going to find someone that once they are in, and because you've had the limitation on what you possibly can offer them in a competitive market, as you said, will eliminate the opportunity of bringing the best person to San Antonio. That's the problem with this. Right now, when the current city manager under the current structure is told he has to leave and we have to go out for someone else, at the current pay, we are not going to find someone suitable. We are lucky to have, unless they want to do it because out of the kindness of their heart. But I will tell you, again, going to the city manager, we just talked about the work of the city council members and the mayor. The city manager overseeing 26 different department heads. 26 different department heads is what is ultimately 5 different direct reports to him of those department heads, watching over 14,000 employees and having to balance a budget every year takes someone who knows what they're doing and hasn't just done it a couple of years or wants to do it out of retirement or whatever the case may be. It takes a good, strong executive. And in today's market, you have to be able to pay properly. Right now, the city is handcuffed on not being able to pay someone properly for doing a job that is incredibly difficult. For the amount of savings, if you're talking a difference between $350,000 and $500,000, I'll just use that as an example, $150,000 on $3.5 billion to manage that correctly is a small amount to pay when you look at what return you can get with the right person in that job.
You got to have the right temperament as well. Oh. Even if you can do all those things, but you're just kind of a irritating person, that's not going to work as well because you're also a public-facing individual and you've got to deal with the public in a very, you know, patient kind of way. I want to go to some callers because we're behind on that. Let's go to Angie. And Angie, you're on the air. Hi, Angie.
Yes. Hi. Initially, I was against it, but once I heard the explanation to attract the people that have the ability to understand a complex situation and in a growing city, I think it makes perfect sense for the increase. You don't want anybody there that can't apply policy, can't understand policy or law.
All right. Well, Angie, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate hearing your take on that. That's really good. Gordon Hartman, it seems like, you know, it does seem there needs to be a campaign like you were doing to talk to people, to hear from people, hear their concerns so that people can, you know, reach a consensus, find out what's going on here. How's the campaign going? What else are you doing?
Well, the campaign is doing what it's doing, what I'm doing here today, and that is trying to get out as much information. And you're right. This is about citizens being heard and hearing what their thoughts are on this. And us, when I say us, the tri-chairs of this, of us going out and talking and expressing the needs of why all these amendments make good sense to vote for them in November. These are issues that many times become emotional and become things that sometimes we kind of get away from the true element of really zeroing in on the issue. And the beauty of a talk show like this, David, honestly, is the people who are calling in are bringing up great points and they need to be heard. And that's why we're doing this, is so that people can understand why these propositions, these amendments make good sense. That's what our democracy is all about. We need this, and we need it in a very positive way. You know, San Antonio has so much going for it right now. To be able to continue to handcuff us in respect to not having the best executive to manage the magnitude of what this organization, this $3.5 billion organization that has 14,000 employees, would be a major mistake. Right now, we are handcuffed in that way, and that simply makes no sense. We talk about public policy, good public policy. That's not good public policy, David.
Let's go to Amendment D, which would allow city employees to participate in local political activity consistent with state and federal law while protecting employees against political retribution. There's a prohibition on that now, mm-hmm. And the question was, like, would this violate the rights of those city employees? In the past, there was way in the past, like in the dark days of San Antonio, there was a lot of problems with patronage. But this is, talk about what's the argument in favor of changing this Amendment D?
Well, if you're a city employee, which is 14,000, are we going to tell 14,000 people that they cannot engage in the political process?
Does that mean like yard signs?
Yeah, yard sign. As simple as your yard sign. A city employee cannot right now put out a yard sign out in favor of a particular person running for a city office.
Well, that seems like, you know, they should be able to do that.
That's right. And that's why this Proposition D makes so much sense. They should be able to engage. Now, one thing I do want to make a point of here, senior positions in the city, senior levels, will still not be able to. So the city manager, his deputies or her deputies, and people running certain levels, there is a cutoff. But to the person who's doing some really hard day-to-day work in a district or for the city and goes home and really feels that a certain council member is doing the right job, should be able to have the freedom to express that to their fellow neighbors, to their friends, et cetera, without the potential of being hurt or taking or getting reprimanded for that. That's simply just not fair, David.
So Gordon Hartman, with the Renew SA campaign action committee, you're recommending, you want San Antonio voters to vote yes on all these, A through F.
Yes, and actually on the ballot will be four.
What do you mean?
We're doing it. It's not a yes or no. It's actually a for or against.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I thought you confused me. I thought you said like
well,
a number
I'm
four.
Just bringing that out because it is you'd be voting for.
You'd be in favor.
In
voting
favor.
For.
Yes. You want to vote yes and in favor.
And you are endorsing. You want voters to go all the way down voting for all these eight possible issues.
All seven. That's
all
correct.
Seven. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And so you think this is in the best interest of San Antonio?
I think it makes good sense, everything we've talked about. Look, there's been some good thoughts given today. I appreciate all those. I don't take this lightly, and I think that the commission has done a good job, and I think it makes good sense for you to vote for all six propositions on the ballot on November 5th.
All right. Gordon Hartman, internationally recognized philanthropist, known for being Morgan's dad. He's also a tri-chair of Renew SA, a local political action committee that is supporting all six amendments to San Antonio's charter. It's great to have you back in the studio.
Thank you so much.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.